Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to see you here today as we gathered to worship the one true and living God. Special welcome to everyone. Extra special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us here this morning. And also an extra special welcome to those who are joining us via live stream today. So would you receive this call to worship from Psalm 147? Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain. He makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. So would you join in singing praises to our King today?
Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing joyful praise to our God.
Thank you.
invite the ushers forward on this next song for this morning's offering, which is going to LMC Ministries. And the children may also come forward for My Coins Count.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gifts and the givers this morning, Lord. We thank you for the bounty that you provided each one of us, and that we turn all that is yours back to you, Lord, the best of our gifts, Lord. We ask that these gifts go to LMC, Lord, and the many ministries that they're involved with, Lord, that they would use them to spread the good news of you and your Son dying on the cross for our sins, Lord. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just pour out our praise to you. You are worthy of all praise, and you alone. And we want to give all our praise to you. God, we just lift Larry to you this morning, and as he brings your word to us, pray that you will fill him with what you would have us to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, I invite the children to come forward at this time for the children's story. It's a spot just for you. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad you came forward this morning for the children's story. I'd like to see your smiling faces. So today I'd like us to think about things that you enjoy that God created. Can you think of anything that you enjoy that God created?
Nature.
Nature?
Mm-hmm. Animals.
Animals. You have another one? Animals. Well, that's an original one.
And deer. Like animals and original lions.
Lions?
Like original animals.
Original animals.
Food.
Food, absolutely. We enjoy food. Yes.
Lizards.
Lizards. Wow, yeah. They're pretty cool. Well, I enjoy animals also. So I was thinking about pets. So do any of you have pets? What do you have?
One cat.
One cat. What do you have?
One dog and two cats.
A dog and two cats. Okay. Anybody else have any pets?
I used to have a dog, but he's up to God.
Really?
Up where we can't see. Okay. Above
the clouds. Okay. Okay, very good.
Me and my brother used to have a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And him sick.
He's dead, oh my. So, sorry about that.
And
dead. Mm-hmm. Well, I enjoy pets also. So. Sandy and I enjoy getting guinea pigs for our grandchildren, usually over the summertime. And so this year, maybe, this year, our guinea pigs had babies. So they're talking right now. But these guinea pigs are 10 days old. So the other day I went out to their pen, and they were running all over the place. So I have this tube in the pen, and so they ran through the tube and around into the box, and they're just running in circles, and then they'd be twitching and jumping up in the air, and I was wondering, these guinea pigs must be crazy. What is wrong with these things?
Maybe they want to go back to their mommy.
I think it sounds that way. Anyway, I went in on the internet, and I looked up and said, why do guinea pigs jump up in the air? And it said, guinea pigs, when they're excited, they jump up in the air, and that's called popcorning. They pop up in the air like popcorn. You can look it up on the internet. It says it right there. But it says they jump and twitch and run around like that because they're happy. So these must be happy guinea pigs. Okay? So who said they wanted to touch one? Kayla, you want to take one? And walk along the front of the bench here. There's three in there, yes. And if you want to touch it, you can, but you don't have to. I'm also going to come along with some hand sanitizer afterwards because I'm going to give you some animal crackers. And probably your mother wouldn't be too happy if I would give you opportunity to touch the guinea pigs and then eat your animal crackers without some hand sanitizer. There you go. You think it would wake you up if you heard him squealing like that?
I didn't get my feet.
There you go. Okay, thank you, Kayla. You can take them back over. So there's a verse in the Bible that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I think that means that when we trust God and we love him with all our heart, he's going to give us the desires of our heart. But that doesn't mean we're going to get everything that we want. It means that what happens is God changes our hearts. And then we begin to think more about other people than ourselves. And that gives he gives the desires of our hearts because we're wanting more for other people. And that's what his desire is as well. So there's a bag at the end of the bench. It has animal crackers in with all different kinds of animals. So you can have a bag and head back to your parents.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. How are you?
Why did they bring the guinea pigs over here?
Because they'd be squealing all the time if we let them out here. Everybody be distracted. They wouldn't be listening to me. They'd be listening to the guinea pigs. You're going to stay up here with me today? Mm-hmm. You are? Well, greetings again in the name of Jesus. It's good to see you here today as we gather to worship God. Thank you for your prayers on my behalf as I prepared. I certainly do appreciate your prayers as you intercede on my behalf. Just a quick update on our grandson, Brady. He came home on Friday. He had the procedure on Thursday. Came home Friday. Doctors said he can go back to school whenever he feels like it. So if he doesn't feel like going to school, I guess he doesn't have to, right? Anyway, he's doing very well, so thank you for your prayers. I'm amazed that, yeah, we went to see him, and he's Brady. Well, the other thing I want to do before we get into the message is I got an email this week with an urgent prayer request from Lancaster Mennonite Conference. It's sending out a call to prayer for the persecuted church around the world. Because there's a number of crises that are unfolding if you're paying attention to the news. One of those is in Afghanistan, which has experienced a 16.7% growth in professing believers in Jesus over this past year. And now those believers, many of those persons have death threats hanging over them because of all that's going on in Afghanistan. So we want to have a time of prayer for that this morning. But I want to read this from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So we're going to take a moment this morning praying for those persons in Afghanistan, not just Afghanistan, in Haiti, and around the world. There's persecution taking place of Christians all around the world. So just want to pause and have a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask this morning if we could kneel, for those who are able, if you could kneel at your seat, and we'll spend time. I'm going to have a time of silence where you can pray, then I will end our time in prayer. So if you are able, would you please bow at your seats. Almighty God, we do indeed just pause at this very moment, seeking your face and asking you to do a work. Call people to yourself during these times of shaking and the unsettledness that's taking place around the world in many, many places. We lift up those persons in Afghanistan who are facing, we don't know what exactly they're facing, but they're facing, many of them may be facing death. And especially if they're a follower of you, I believe their life is in danger. So we ask right now in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that you would be with them. They could sense your presence with them in a very real, a very powerful way. Give them the strength that they need to stay faithful and true to you to the very end. And all those persons in Haiti, what they've experienced with earthquakes and all those things that are taking place and then tropical storms, ask, Father God, that you would be with them as well. And for any other persons around the world who are being persecuted for their faith, for believing in you, for trusting in you, I ask, Father God, again, that you would give them the physical, emotional, and spiritual strength that they need to stand strong for you. And also, we lift up those folks in Louisiana who may be facing a hurricane, probably are facing a hurricane heading their direction, or maybe it has already hit. But we ask, Father God, you would be with them as well. We ask for protection of lives. And we ask that people would begin to acknowledge you as the one true and living God. Because I believe that's what your desire is for every human being on the face of the earth, is to turn to you. So we lift up all these things and ask all these things in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, today we're going to be continuing our sermon series on idols of the heart. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how God is a jealous God. He is jealous for us. He desires our complete devotion and love. He desires to be on the throne of our hearts. His name is jealous. That's what Exodus 34:14 tells us. Today, the title of the message is The Temple of Pleasure. Here in the United States, I believe the pursuit of pleasure in some way, shape, or form has become a god. In the book that Tony referenced several weeks ago, Gods at War, that was written by Kyle Eidelman, he uses this illustration in talking about the God of entertainment. He says, imagine this. People arrive hours early for church. On Sunday mornings, they don't just set an alarm, but they set a backup alarm, and then they also set a backup to the backup alarm. They arrange their schedules to make sure they don't miss gathering for worship. Throughout the week, they talk about what happened at the previous Sunday morning worship service. As excitement builds for the upcoming church service, there's all-day talk shows on the radio devoted to reviewing last week's service and breaking down the next one. There's even a TV show that's called Church Center that runs highlights of church activities that have happened across the nation that day. When Sunday comes, the members start loading up their pickup trucks, their SUVs, their sedans, hours before the service begins. And Dad frantically says, hurry up, we're behind schedule again. And Mom says, oh, for Pete's sake, it's 6 a.m. Church doesn't start for another 4 hours. To which Dad replies, the last time that we left at this time, we had to park 3 miles away from the sanctuary and sit in the nosebleed seats. Someday I'd really like to sit in the front row, but you got to camp out in the church lawn to have any chance of doing that. So as they leave home, the roads are really congested. At church, there's vehicles parked as far as the eye can see, and people are out there tailgating. Some have elaborate spreads prepared, breaking out their grills, lawn chairs in the church parking lot. Some got TV monitors there, satellite dishes, so they can catch up on the updates from all the other worship services while they wait for their own worship service to begin. It's a beautiful day, but that doesn't matter. Even in the dead of winter, they'll be out there in the same numbers. The masses begin filling into the sanctuary, cheering with great passion and excitement. And once the service begins, everybody's on their feet. Not that they ever sit down. Of course, there's a bunch of guys in the front row. They've probably been here since Friday night. They don't have any shirts on. And each one has a letter painted on their chest. Together they spell out, get your tithe on. Obviously, they've been looking on the church website and they've seen that the pastor's going to be speaking about tithing and biblical principles of stewardship and worshiping God with our money. Everybody is pumped. They're pumped for this message on stewardship because it's one of the highlights of the entire year. Well, after several hours, people start watching the clock. Everybody's thinking the same thing. I hope the sermon goes into overtime. Now, maybe you're thinking, that's absolutely insane and crazy. But if you replace church with football, then it seems perfectly sane, right? I'm not saying that football is wrong, because I enjoy football as much as anyone else. But let's be careful, because football has the potential, along with many other things, to become a god. So have you ever thought about the role of pleasure in your life? The Apostle Paul, in his writing to Timothy, says in 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, he says this, but mark this, there'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. In some parts of the world, including the United States of America, it is not especially difficult to be a follower of Jesus. Most times here in America, Christians aren't thrown into prison for reading their Bibles or executed for preaching about Jesus. Yet. As we read Paul's comments to Timothy here in 2 Timothy, I believe that we would probably all agree that this describes our society today, and even, unfortunately, the behavior of some Christians. Various studies have been done that show people in general spend trillions, that's trillions with a T, trillions of dollars each year trying to find happiness, trying to find contentment, whether it's food, various forms of entertainment, travel, sex, drugs, drink, or something else that promises to turn our frown upside down. So for most of us here this morning, I would say that we have our basic needs for survival met. We have plenty of food, plenty of clothes to wear, fresh water to drink, and a nice place to live. I also believe that many of us have also experienced pleasure in our lives, and even if you haven't experienced much pleasure in your life, you probably experienced enough to know that you want more. The gods of pleasure invite us into the temple of pleasure, and there we encounter the gods of food, entertainment, and sex, just to name a few. Now, please understand, food, entertainment, and sex are all pleasures that are not sinful in and of themselves. In fact, these pleasures all have the potential to be good gifts from God that draw our hearts closer and closer to Him. Remember, a few Sundays ago, I mentioned the problem occurs when we turn God's good gifts into gods, instead of receiving them for what they are, good gifts from God. So do you recall Joshua's impassioned speech in Joshua 24, where he challenged the people to choose which God they would serve after reminding them of all the things that God had done for them? Then in Joshua 24, beginning at verse 14, we read this. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." The people responded and chose to serve the Lord God and were told to throw away the gods of the Egyptians. But instead of destroying the old gods, they put them into storage. Several hundred years pass. The nation of Israel splits into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The first king of the northern kingdom is Jeroboam, and he doesn't want his people going to Jerusalem in the southern kingdom to worship God. Besides making his own gods, he also brings back the gods of the Egyptians for the people to worship. The worship of these idols continues as kings come and go. Then a man named Ahab, son of Omri, descends to the throne of Israel, and then we read that he did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him in 1 Kings 16, verse 30. The king marries a woman named Jezebel, whose name is still in the dictionary as another word for an immoral or manipulative woman. She sets up an altar and a temple for the god of Baal. Jezebel has many prophets of the true God killed, and we here know today that God is a jealous God. The one true and living God reaches a point where he has had enough of the people's unfaithfulness, and he sends his prophet Elijah to Ahab. Elijah says to the king, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there'll be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my words." That says that in 1 Kings 17, verse 1. Why did God say there wouldn't be any rain? Well, we need to understand that the God of Baal, which Jezebel set up, was a God who supposedly controlled the weather. His number one talent, if you will, was taking care of the weather. This is why the genuine God withheld the rain. It was the most obvious way to get the attention of unfaithful people, because the weather was a very big item of interest in their culture. Kyle Eidelman, in his book, Gods at War, says this, and I quote, "God withholds his blessing in the very area that we lift up false gods. For example, has anyone noticed any significant economic problems in our money-obsessed culture lately? How about problems with food, obesity, eating disorders, junk food, and nutritional issues? How about sex? Has anyone seen any sexual dysfunction in our culture? How about the entertainment industry? Isn't it interesting that one of the most common complaints of our entertainment-saturated society is boredom?" We shouldn't be surprised. After all, why would the Lord God bless us in the area that represents his greatest competition? unquote. Perhaps God withholding his blessing is not always because we're chasing after an idol, but it seems unlikely that he will bless an area of our life that is robbing him of his rightful place on the throne of our heart. In 1 Kings 18, we have the very familiar account of the showdown at Mount Carmel. We have Elijah, like Elisha did in Joshua 24, going before the people, and this is what Elijah says in 1 Kings 18:2, 18:21. How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. You will notice this passage in 1 Kings is very similar to the passage in Joshua 24, with one striking exception. This time, the people said what? This time, the people said nothing. So why were the people silent? Why did they say nothing? Could it be that in the midst of a drought, they didn't want to make that choice? They wanted to have it both ways. They wanted to be followers of the Lord God, but they also wanted to be followers of Baal, well, just because they were in the middle of a drought. And, well, just maybe Baal could or would come through and provide much-needed rain. This way they could have it both ways, have all their bases covered. So they said nothing. Wouldn't you think if they wanted Baal instead of God, they would have said, we want Baal. And if they would have wanted God instead of Baal, then they would have declared, we choose God. But instead, they said nothing. You may have heard the expression, silence speaks volumes, or something similar to that. In this case, I believe the silence of the people spoke volumes. Perhaps the same is true for us today. We don't like to choose between God or idols because, well, we want it both ways. I believe God Almighty, the one true and living God, the one whose name is jealous, wants to occupy the throne of our hearts. And he wants to be there on the throne of our hearts, all alone. Nothing else competing for the seat on the throne of our hearts. But perhaps, maybe, what some of us have become very good at doing is replacing the throne of our hearts with a love seat. A love seat where we invite God to come and sit. We want him on the love seat. God, you are welcome here on the love seat of our hearts. But just so you understand, you're going to need to share this space on the love seat with something or someone else. Remember, many of the things that we want God to share that space with on the love seat are not evil or wrong in and of themselves. It's not idolatry to enjoy food. Food is a good gift from God. Sex is a good gift from God. He designed sex for the intimacy and the supernatural and spiritual connection that takes place between us and our spouse. Within the proper context, sex is a beautiful gift from God. All of the gifts God gives are given to us by God in order to point us back to Him, who is the giver of many good gifts. We must guard against those God-given gifts becoming competitors for the throne of our hearts. And we must also remember that this is a war. When it comes to entertainment, this is what I see as I observe and experience life here in America. I've lived in this community all my life. And it appears to me like we have more opportunities to experience entertainment than we've ever had in the history of humanity. We have more opportunity to engage in all kinds of pleasures. And again, many of these activities that we seek pleasure from are not bad in and of themselves. But my observation has been, we have so much entertainment and so little satisfaction, so little contentment, so little peace deep within our hearts. Because ultimately, the gods of pleasure cannot satisfy. Because I believe we all have this God-shaped hole in our hearts that only God can fill and satisfy. We cannot and will not find peace, contentment through food, through sex, or through entertainment. So I'd like to close this morning with what was written in the book by Kyle Idleman, God's at War, and says, choosing Jesus. Jesus, my passion. Over and over again in this book, it said, idols are defeated not by being removed, but by being replaced. So this is what he wrote. The God of entertainment promised us a circus. And in our adult world, which can sometimes be gray and drab, filled with obligations and responsibilities, that sounded pretty good. We looked for attractions and surprises and amusements to create in us a sense of wonder. Maybe we would find it in music or in movies or in games or in sports. The God of entertainment was hawking them all like a carnival barker. Step right up, be amazed, be amused, come one, come all. But in the end, the music was flat. The movies were formulaic, and the games were all rigged. The circus would leave town, and then we would wait patiently, or impatiently, for another one to take its place. But then, we found our passion in Jesus. If you haven't experienced it for yourself, I get that it sounds ridiculous. Because how could this dusty old Bible character compete with big budget movies or action-packed games or soulful tunes? But once you know Jesus and passionately pursue Him. It seems ridiculous that we thought we could ever find what we wanted on a movie screen, on a website, or from a playlist. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we do indeed thank you. Thank you for your many gifts that you've given to us. Many of gifts you've given to us to enjoy. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all those gifts. Father, I realize, and I believe many people here this morning also realize, that we have this tendency to, instead of having a throne on our heart, we replace it with a love seat, and we like to have it two ways. You there, but also something or someone else there also. And I believe and understand that that is sin. Because you're a jealous God. And you're asking us to reserve that throne of our hearts for you and you alone. So I ask this morning for forgiveness for myself, for my brothers and sisters here today who may have done that also. And I ask, Father God, that you would help us to pursue you, to seek after you with all of our hearts, love you with all of our hearts, because that's what you desire. And when we do that, and when we find you, there's life, there's excitement, there is the ability to have peace, experience contentment, because you are all that we need. So I thank you for what you've done for us, and I pray that as we move forward through these series of messages of idols of the hearts, that we would continue to be open to your Spirit's leading and guiding, and open and allow you to change us, to supernaturally transform us by the power of your Holy Spirit, and give you the proper place in our lives, and allow you to sit on the throne of our hearts alone. So we thank you and praise you for your deep love and your gifts, and especially the gift of life, that fullness of life that we can experience through Jesus, your loving Son. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I invite the worship team to come forward.
We turn our eyes. Got me? There we go. I can hear out of this ear, but I can't hear out of this ear, so bear with me. This morning, I just wanted to stand here and give you a reminder. Next Sunday is the review lesson, so everybody will be upstairs here next Sunday. And then the second Sunday in September, which is September 12th, we are going to try something new again. We're going to try breaking into two adult classes. I think the one is going to meet here in the overflow and the other out in the carport. I'm just kidding. We have to figure that all out where everything's going yet. So I would ask you as a congregation, tomorrow night, Tony Whitmer, Linford Zimmerman, Heather Whitmer, Donna Horst, and myself, and Heidi Charles is coming on board with the Sunday School. We are meeting tomorrow night to discuss how this can all work. So I would ask you to pray for us that we would have the wisdom to know how to go about this and that we can get ourselves back into two adult classes so we can have a little bit more discussion. The second thing that I want to share with you is I want to thank you as a congregation. August 6th, 7th, and 8th has in the past now. That was our community family fun day that we had out at the park. And I was blessed, first of all, with the amount of people from Flowing Waters that was willing to help us and be there. But I was also very grateful to be able to see a lot of your faces mingling with the community and talking with them and just being there. So two things that I want to share with you that I got out of the whole weekend was, number one, we had the fire companies, Bowmansville Fire Company and Five Pointville bring the foods, and I thank you for blessing them with the contributions and buying and eating food. And secondly, Lamar and Kara Zimmerman were from YWAM, and they had a Straits Donuts came up to do a fundraiser for them. And they were there Friday night and all day Saturday. And they made 2,800 donuts that was eaten out at the park. And then Saturday night, we auctioned off a 12-inch donut, which, how many here would like to have a 12-inch donut? Brian's the only one. Okay, I'll make sure Renee makes one for you. But we auctioned off a 12-inch donut for Lamar and Kara as a donation, and we got $265 for that 12-inch donut, which was a blessing. So we were able to bless them. You guys were able to bless them. My last thing for you is, one of the things I observed Saturday with watching the kids running around and just having a blast was, we had some pony rides and quarter horse rides, and the little kids would come up to get on the ponies, and they would stand there and look at them, and they would just look and not quite sure, and finally you would get them coaxed onto the pony, and they would go around the ball diamond and a couple times and get off of it, and as soon as they got off of it, the next thing they did was they got right back in line again, and it was just constant, until finally they got themselves worked up to the quarter horse. And then it was round and round and round on the ball diamond. And you say, Rick, that's kind of retarded. Here's my thought. I believe that's where a lot of us are in our walk right now, is the fear of where or what God wants to do with us. And these little kids, once they stepped, got on the horse and realized it's a joyous ride, we need to remember that if we can step into God's world and let Him use us, it's a joyous ride that we're going to continue and continue and continue. So thank you, and thank you for blessing that weekend. And we will be doing it next year again. So I'll let you know more about that. Thanks.
I never met a donut I didn't like. So Joel, Joel and Colin, I hope your bodies feel better than my voice does this morning. I was at a football game last night watching those guys play their hearts out. They did a good job. So anyway, just like to bring your attention to something in the bulletin this morning. I don't know, a few months ago, Renee and me were at a wedding reception, and we knew some of the people, kinda, and others we didn't know at all. And somebody that didn't know us was sitting at our table, and they said, "So, are you guys retired?" No, we got a few decades to go yet till we're retired, but so this idea of are you a senior or are you not a senior? Well, there's benefits to being a senior, but nobody really knows, I guess anyway. You don't really know. If I'd ask you to raise your hand if you're a senior, there's probably some of you that wouldn't really know if you should raise your hand or not. So anyway, we used to have this time with the youth group called something like Games with Seniors. And I think people didn't know if they should come because they didn't know if they were a senior or not. So we changed the name to Time with Teens. So if you think you'd like to spend time in the church place basement playing games with teens, this is for you. So it's September 19th after church. I'm not going to try to talk anymore. You can read the details in the bulletin. Thanks.
Well, Brian, I'm one of those people, I'm not sure if I'm a senior or not. I like to be a senior when I go to a restaurant and get the senior discount, but I'm not sure I'd like to be a senior other times. Anyway, yeah, so come and join in the fun games. Also, just one quick thing before we dismiss. This is the last Sunday of the month, so the children can come up here and guess how many coins, the amount of coins that have been collected for MCC after the service. Write your guess on the paper, and then if you're the closest, you'll get a little prize next Sunday. Okay, would you stand for the parting blessing? From 2 Corinthians 13:14, may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a great week.